Welcome to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we explore news and issues affecting hunters, anglers, and conservation across the northeastern United States. If you enjoy the content here, be sure to subscribe to our print or digital versions by calling 800-535-5191 or visit our website at outdoornews.com. Now, here's your host and a man who claims he's immune to buck fever, New York Outdoor News editor Dan Ladd.
This episode of the Great Northeast Podcast is brought to you by the Family Forest Carbon Program, a collaborative initiative created by two nonprofit organizations, the American Forest Foundation and the Nature Conservancy, assisting landowners in improving the health of their land with long-term sustainable forest management practices while providing guaranteed annual income. Learn more at familyforestcarbon.org. Greetings and welcome to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. Happy to be along, happy to have you along as we turn the corner from July into August. And this is one of my favorite times of the summer, probably is my actual favorite time of the summer, because we're starting to see that fall and the hunting seasons are a reality. And nothing says it more than sporting licenses going on sale, which is happening in just about every state in the Northeast, including here in New York. I believe everything's going to kick in on August 3rd or sometime early in the week, and hunters can begin to get their licenses online, license issuing agents, and of course, they can apply for their antlerless deer permits, which is going to be interesting with all the new deer regs that we've talked about quite a bit here on the podcast in recent months and will be in the near future. But for now, we're going to take a little stroll out to Massachusetts, where we're getting ready for HuntStock, the fifth annual HuntStock Massachusetts, and that's going on August 7th through the 9th. We've got the proprietor of this event, whatever you want to call him, the promoter, Pat Guyette, who wears a lot of hats, and he's just coming off a very successful HuntStock in Wisconsin, the first one out there. He's got a lot to talk about, and we want to hear about it when we come back right after this.
Are you an avid angler searching for the latest fishing news and tips? It's time to check out OutdoorNews.com. Get ready to reel in the freshest updates and expert advice from top anglers. Plus, you'll have access to the most up-to-date fishing reports, lake maps, lake reports, and more. Don't let the big one get away. Join OutdoorNews.com and reel in a world of fishing knowledge and expertise. Join today, OutdoorNews.com. Your passion, your news, your fishing journey.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News. And it's that time of year. It's hunt stock time of year, folks. And we've got the guy who makes it all happen with us, as I said earlier, Patrick Guyette. Pat, you're just coming off Wisconsin. A year ago when I had you on this podcast, you were that Wisconsin was an idea. Now it's come and gone. So first of all, welcome to the podcast, and man, let's hear about Wisconsin. I'm excited.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dan. Last time we talked, it was just an idea. We like to move pretty quickly on things, so went from the idea into, you know, locking in a venue and getting to work on the show. And for a first year show, it was really, really good. We had about the same amount of attendees as we did last year in Massachusetts. So it, you know, took 1 year to get to the same attendee level as, it took us 4 years in Massachusetts. So, we were super excited about it. The hunting public came out, they had a great time. We had an awesome lineup out there of seminar speakers. And you know, it was just a little bit different type of a venue. We were used to doing it on, you know, family farms. This was on a fairground, so we got a little bit more infrastructure with it, and you know, all in all, it was a really good event. It was really hot. There was a lot of smoke that came in from the wildfires, but still, you know, it turned out to be an awesome event. We were super excited about it.
So, you know, here in the Northeast, you talk about the tracking all the time. What'd you do differently out there for, say, seminar speakers?
It was a lot of different types of bow hunting and gun hunting. We even had an air gun seminar out in Wisconsin. Air guns are legal to hunt big game with. So there were some air gun sponsors, and then Dan Small, who's kind of a legendary guy out there in Wisconsin, had a TV show for a long time. He's been hunting with air guns and taking big game with them. So we did air gun seminars. We had bow hunting, you know, in the swamps, you know, from Dan Infault. We had bow hunting from John Eberhart, how to hunt pressured whitetails with a bow. Jared Scheffler did seminars all on ground hunting. So it was just a wide array of different types of ways to take deer. We did also do some turkey seminars, and then we brought Lanny Benoit and Rick Labby from the Northeast to talk about some tracking, and they were very popular out there. We had a lot of guys from Northern Minnesota and Minnesota, Northern Wisconsin, the UP that came out to the event to hear Lanny and Rick talk for the first time, because they don't make it out that way very often. So we did still have some tracking.
Well, you were right in the heart of our outdoor news battery, so to speak, because our founding publication, Minnesota Outdoor News, is based out of Minneapolis. They produce weekly. The rest of us, including Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Pennsylvania, New York, we all produce biweekly. But Dan Small is a big part of our network. I don't know if you know that or not, but he's written for us for as long as I can remember, as long as I've been affiliated with the publication. And he actually had a brother that at one time lived in Long Lake, New York, up in the Adirondacks. And I got connected with him, and he sent me some musky lures.
Pretty awesome
flies. But we're well aware of Dan, his capabilities. But that said, I didn't realize he was such an air rifle guy.
Yeah, he's been hunting with air rifles recently. And one of our sponsors, it was an air rifle company, I think, that sponsors his show. So he did a daily seminar on that.
So what was the concern? I mean, you do post show surveys, right? Are you starting to get the feedback coming in from that, from Wisconsin already?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's lots of feedback, and we always listen to feedback and try to act on as much of it as we can that, you know, wouldn't change the show significantly or kind of change our brand DNA. You know, we're a show that we want to feel like a deer camp and not necessarily like a trade show. But yeah, there's definitely some great feedback. It was a bigger venue than we normally utilize. So, you know, we had a spread out festival. You know, there were three different buildings that we used instead. You know, in the Massachusetts show, we have one indoor building and everything's a little bit tighter and close together. So, you know, some of the feedback was, hey, that was just a long walk from building one to building two. You know, maybe we do shuttles next year. I think we're going to fill in the exhibitors. You know, it was kind of, there were little zones around each building, and then between the buildings, it was a long walk. And because it was a first year show, we had just under 100 exhibitors. I expect we'll have, you know, closer to 200 next year. A lot of great feedback from the vendors and all of our exhibitors. So we're going to fill it in, maybe add some shuttles, for the older folks to be able to make it between the buildings, because it is, you know, it's a lot bigger venue than we're used to. Some of the feedback you can't control is like, hey, it was very hot, you know, and it was uncharacteristically hot. You know, so we'll add more fans and stuff. You know, you can't really get AC in some of these giant buildings that fairgrounds have, but you know, we'll be able to work towards, you know, getting some bigger fans on rent and things like that. And yeah, just lots of great feedback. Also, you know, it's a completely new demographic than we're used to. Some of the feedback was, hey, we'd like to see the door price, you know, decreased a little bit. It's more expensive than what most people are used to. And that's something that Huntstock is always going to battle. We're a more expensive show than other shows. But we'll take all that stuff into consideration. And I think the big takeaway is every attendee that showed up and bought a ticket, they left extremely happy. They left saying that, well, that's a very unique show. I had a lot of fun there and I can't wait to come back.
They had a good experience. Wisconsin is obviously a legendary deer hunting state. I mean, so you made a good choice there. And I guess my question is that what brought you to Wisconsin? Did you look at it and say, okay, demographically, this is a deer hunting place? I'm sure that was part of your consideration.
Absolutely. That played into it. You know, we'd been doing the Northeast show for, like I said, 4 years. We're going into our fifth, and we tried the one out in New York, and didn't get the great community support around it that we wanted to see. And I think we've touched base on this before. It's just a little bit too close to that Northeast show. So they were, both shows were kind of competing against each other, and it kind of split that Northeast deer camp feel into two different camps. All the New York guys just went to the New York show and didn't go to the Mass show. And, you know, it kind of changed that whole feeling around that one that we do in Massachusetts. So we decided, hey, if we're going to do another one, let's actually do it out in the Mecca. Let's go to the Midwest and do it out there. And then Dan Infault convinced us to do it in Wisconsin. You know, it's in his backyard. He's a huge believer in Huntstock, had a great time at Huntstock last year in Massachusetts. And he was kind of the one that pushed us over the edge to get it to Wisconsin. So we're very happy that he did. And he's been a great supporter of us.
So what's plans for next year out there? Dates, all that?
Yep, next year, same place, same weekend. So I believe it's July. This year it was July 17th, 18th, and 19th. And next year it's July 16th, 17th, and 18th. Same place, Dodge County Fairgrounds. We did all the heavy lifting this year, learning a new venue, learning new processes. You know, so we like to take everything that we learned and put it back into use. And so next year the logistics will be easier. We'll make improvements. So, you know, we're all about tradition when it comes to Huntstock. We want it to be a tradition. So, you know, changing locations, is not really in the cards. I mean, we'll see how it goes the next few years there. But we always want to go back to the same place, kind of same time frame, and make it a yearly tradition that people can look forward to.
And, with Wisconsin, whereabouts is this in Wisconsin? I'm not familiar with the state at all. Where is it located in Wisconsin?
It was in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And if you look at it on a map, it's about equidistant from Madison and Milwaukee. If you drew two points between Madison and Milwaukee, it's kind of a flat line going east-west. And then if it was pretty much an equilateral triangle, the northern point of that triangle is where Beaver Dam is. So it's very close, within an hour of Milwaukee, within an hour of Madison, and it's in a great location.
How hard was it for you to, you know, put something like this together living where you live here on the East Coast?
It wasn't that hard. I mean, we've done enough of these, and before I started Huntstock, I worked at Spartan Race, and you know, I was part of the planning for over 100 events that I then physically went to, you know, more of in a sponsorship and exhibitor capacity, but I wore a lot of hats at Spartan Race. I was one of the first employees there. So I got to experience how to build an event and a festival, how to run it the right way, things not to do, you know, that Spartan did early on that I wanted to avoid. So it's really not as hard as it sounds to, plan it from a distance. The hardest thing is just when you get on the ground, there's going to be some things that you're not expecting, especially at a new venue, you know, in a first year event. So it's quick problem solving, being able to learn on the fly, and then take everything that you learned and build it into next year's planning, and just get better every single year on the logistics.
Well, that's awesome about Wisconsin. I want to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Patrick Guyette and Huntstock right after this.
There's a great program available for youth who love to hunt and fish. It's called the Outdoor News Junior Pro Team, and any youth 18 or under can join for free at jrproteam.com. JPT program showcases useful videos and tips to help encourage the next generation to become stronger anglers and hunters. It's a platform to celebrate and inspire those outdoor loving youth. Check out the photos of Outdoor News Junior Pro Team members on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, and visit our jrproteam.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Ladd, editor of New York Outdoor News, and Huntstock, Massachusetts is coming up. I believe the dates are August 7th to 9th. Is that right, Pat? Do I have that correct?
You got it.
All right. And this is what, fourth annual?
This will be the fifth year doing it in Massachusetts.
Wow. Yep. Okay. I've lost track already. So you go from one to the next.
Yeah, we like to try to do that. The later you go into August, you know, the more people are bear baiting or getting ready for Western hunts and things like that. So, you know, this is kind of the latest that we can do it. And, you know, we want to have a little bit of a buffer between the two shows. So we end up doing them about three weekends apart, and that works out great.
So what's in store for us this year?
So this year, I'll go through the seminar lineup and kind of highlight the new seminar speakers. So we have Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline coming. He was just out in the Wisconsin event. He hunts a lot with traditional archery equipment, and he hunts exclusively on the ground. And if you're familiar with his stuff, you know, Whitetail Adrenaline, they're a legendary group. They've been putting DVDs out for, you know, the last, I think, about 20 years now. And, you know, he doesn't come out to the Northeast very often. He goes to the Great American Outdoor Show. But that's as far in the Northeast that he has made it. So if you want to see Jared, he's doing ground bow hunting seminars all 3 days. Dan Infault's coming back. He absolutely loved the experience last year. So he'll be back doing Q&As every day. Bo Martonic from East Meets West will be there doing seminars on mountain bow hunting on Friday and Saturday, and he's going to be doing some live podcasting as well. One thing we did out in Wisconsin that was a big hit was Huntstock After Hours live podcasts. We had a group called Hunt XP Podcast doing a live show. So while the band is playing, while people are enjoying themselves, they just kind of have an open mic and people can jump on, tell a deer story or talk about their experience. And Bo's going to be doing that at the Northeast show. So Huntstock After Hours, and I believe live streaming from his YouTube channel. But we're super excited to have Bo coming. He's also bringing Johnny Stewart, who's a good friend of his and a really good hunter too. Johnny's not going to be doing any seminars, but he's going to be hanging out all weekend and probably hop on Bo's podcast when he does those live podcasts. And then, you know, Joe DiNito and Jim Massett are coming back. Those guys are from out your way, and they haven't been to Huntstock Northeast since 2023. So they're going to be coming back and doing seminars all 3 days, which we're super excited about. Joe delivers just one of the best tracking seminars, I believe, that's out there. And he's got such a great way of teaching and explaining it to people. And then you've got Lanny Benoit, Connecticut Carl, Rodney Elmer, Rick Labby, Jeff Doyle, Jake Bennett, Randy Flannery, just a star-studded lineup in the Northeast again.
I know a lot of those guys. Of course, Randy Flannery is a very good friend, and Jim Massett and Joe DiNito are good friends. And I agree with you on Joe. I love what Joe does. I mean, and I tell him all the time, all these phases he has in his seminar, I won't give them away because we want people to come to the show and see, but Joe goes through different phases, as does Randy Flannery, actually, different phases of the track as you're following a track, a deer track. And he breaks it down in each one of those phases, as I'm calling them as we sit here, in my mind, is a chapter in a book.
And I
tell Joe that all the time. And if I ever get to retirement, you know, maybe I can sit down with Joe and Randy and work with them on books, because their delivery, even though it's different, or I should say their topic, even though it's different and the end result is the same, their delivery is unique to each one of them. You know, Randy talks about the 5 points that he got from his grandfather, and same thing, you know, just a different way of going about the task at hand, and very unique, you know, extremely unique. And I had the privilege of meeting Rick Labby over the winter. I went up to the Yankee Sportsman's Classic in Burlington, Vermont, Essex Junction, actually, and finally got to meet Rick. And the other thing about Lanny is Lanny turned 80 this year. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, we want to catch up with him and do a story on that at some point in Outdoor News. And, you know, all these guys are just, they all have something different to offer. But this, who was the first guy you mentioned that hunts from the ground? I think that's unique.
Yeah. Jared Scheffler.
Okay. And where is he from?
He lives in Iowa now. He's from Wisconsin, but he lives in Iowa, and he was kind of, if you know what, you know, the hunting public does these days on YouTube, he was kind of the first one doing that style of hunting and that style of, you know, editing from before those guys came around. And he's just been putting out DVDs, you know, since day one, and he still does that. And he's just a really, really, really good hunter. He's also... One of the other things that we did last year was the Legends Camp giveaway at Huntstock Northeast. So if you come on Saturday, we draw a winner who gets to come and join camp with a couple of the legends that will be on you know, on our seminar lineup. Last year it was, you know, Landy Benoit and Rick Labby and Dan Infault in camp. This year, both Rick's got another hunt and Lanny's got a surgery scheduled around that time. But this year, the Hunting Legends camp that we're going to be drawing on Saturday, Jared Scheffler is coming to that camp. Dan Infault's coming to that camp, and Joe DeNito and Jim Massett are both coming to that camp. So all four of those guys will be great in camp. You'll have a chance to, you know, share deer camp with them for 3 nights and 3 days of hunting. And then you've got a bunch of other guys that are great hunters that'll be at camp too. Jeff Doyle, Neil Pendleton, Pat Burns, my partner, you know, myself, and a couple of other guys. So it's a really fun thing, and you'll have a chance to win that if you're there on Saturday.
Incredible. That's great. And what a great experience to have. But you won't be able to get into word edgewise with all those guys.
Well, it's more about listening, I think. If you know what I mean.
Sure.
If you win that, you're going to want to soak up all the stories and the knowledge of those guys. You know, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. You know.
Yep. Just bring a recorder along with you. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Geez, Pat, I want to catch up more on this. We're going to take a quick break right here, but when we come back, we want to talk more about Huntstock, Massachusetts, coming up August 7th, 8th, and 9th. Very soon. We'll be right back right after this.
Your land is your legacy, but keeping it healthy and thriving means caring for it now and in the future. The Family Forest Carbon Program can help you do right by your land with guaranteed income, help developing a forest management plan, and advice from experts. If you own 30 acres or more of forest land in Vermont, Massachusetts, or New York, you may be eligible to enroll in the Family Forest Carbon Program. Visit familyforestcarbon.org and enroll today.
Welcome back to the Great Northeast Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Land, editor of New York Outdoor News, and we've got Pat on. Pat Guyot here with Huntstock. Pat, I think we've had you on 4 times now. You're starting to compete with guys like Steve Pyatt and a few others for having the most appearances on our podcast here, which, by the way, we just recorded our 100th episode here about a month ago. But some of the guys you're talking about, you know, of course, Jim Massett is one of my favorite people in the whole world.
Me too.
And a number of years ago, I was working on a documentary on Adirondack deer camps that never got completed, for long story. But we went to Jim's camp, spent a day there, ate venison, and filmed a bunch of those guys talking. Unfortunately, Joe wasn't there that day, but there were a whole bunch of other guys that were. And I still have all that video, all the audio from that. Just good stuff to hang on to, you know, to really keep a hold of. But
absolutely. You should put it together and throw it into the Huntstock Film Festival one of these years.
It's out of my control. It's
okay.
I was the writer. That's what was my job. I was brought on to write a script, and the whole thing just never got finished. It was really cool. It was a great experience. Met a lot of people and became much closer with Jim and Joe during that, especially Jim. And he had a nice little hunting camp at the time in Inlet, New York, which is central Adirondacks, you know, near the Moose River Plains area. And of course, he was still hunting pretty heavily back then in his prime. But what else you got to say about Huntstock, Massachusetts? Anything new this year?
Yeah, let's we'll talk about, you know, we do a lot of deer hunting seminars. Obviously, deer is kind of king at Huntstock, but we wanted to make sure that we have other types of seminars out there. So we're doing this year, we've got an emergency wilderness first aid seminar by Jake Bennett. He's a nurse. He's a EMS certified, and it's basically like, what happens if you have a serious injury, you know, and you're way out in the woods by yourself? You know, how do you survive that? So he's going to be doing a seminar on Saturday about that. We've got an intro to fly fishing seminar by Orvis endorsed guide Matt Tempesta. So he'll be doing, if you're interested in fly fishing or learning how to do that, he's going to be doing an intro to fly fishing class every single day. We've got a land navigation 101 course by Jesse Nye, who taught that course in the military. So he's going to do a rundown on land navigation, and that'll be a daily seminar. Any day you come, you'll be able to catch that one. And also a hunter's education, intro to hunter's education by Alex Marinelli, which will be on Saturday. So those will be cool. Make sure you check those out. A couple of other things, like, I don't know if you've heard, but Lanny has started to make his own custom knives like his dad was doing. So handmade custom knives with deer antlers as the handles. They're very nice, very high quality. Anything that Lanny does, he does, to the best. You know, he does it to the extreme. He gets really good at it. His knives, he hasn't made a ton of them yet. But when he has, you know, they've been selling for a pretty penny because they're going to be very, very collectible. And, so he'll have, 5 knives at Huntstock, Massachusetts, the only place that you can get them. And we're going to be giving one of those away as well, as a door prize on Sunday. So if you want to, try to get your hands on one of those, Sunday will be the day for that. And then Lanny, you've probably seen it. They used to have a museum like trailer that they would take to all of their shows. And, that hasn't really seen the light of day in the last 15 to 20 years. But they revitalized that, and they're bringing that trailer back out. So it'll have a lot of the Benoit family artifacts, a lot of their bucks and things like that. So that'll be at the show for the first time, which is super exciting.
I've seen that trailer. They used to bring it to the Yankee Sportsman's Classic up in Essex Junction, Vermont, back in the mm-hmm. day. There used yep. to be a publication called Outdoors Magazine that I wrote for at the time. And I remember going up and spending some time in their booth, and it was right next to the Benoit's trailer, and they had Casper there and the whole shooting match, you know, it was pretty cool. Lanny oh, yeah. Benoit, 80 years old, and he's starting a new hobby. How about that?
Yep, exactly.
That's great. And yeah,
just
you're
never
right.
stops pushing.
Those knives will be a coveted item. I'm sure they'll be a big time coveted item. So let's talk about, first of all, Pat, anything else you want to say about Massachusetts or Wisconsin?
I would just say for Massachusetts too, Friday is First Responder Friday, and we've been doing that the last few years. If you're a first responder, if you're a military veteran, or you're in the military now, or you're in a police department or fire department, or you're EMS certified, we have special perks for you on Friday. You'll get a couple extra door prize entries. You get entered into a special first responder exclusive door prize pool. And that has over $6,000 in prizes. So you get a lot higher chances of winning things on Friday from our door prizes if you're a first responder. And then the first 100 first responders to check in on Friday will also get a free drink voucher for the bar. And there's a couple other things in the works on that too that we may announce in the next week. But if you're a first responder, make sure you come Friday. Friday is an awesome day. It's typically pretty well attended, and like I said, you get a lot better chances of winning prizes. So we'd love to see you on Friday if you're a first responder.
That's excellent. That's glad to hear that you're doing that. That's all good stuff. So what's in the future? I mean, you know, a year ago at this time we were talking, you were moving on from New York, setting up Wisconsin. Is there going to be a third Huntstock in the future?
Eventually, yes. We just got to work through some things. We've got a very small team, you know, the majority of the work falls on to my plate, and two shows is about as much as I can handle right now. But we are, you know, we do want to do a third show and do it in the South at some point, maybe 2028, kind of eyeing that time frame. But in order to do that, we would need to make some hires. So if you're out there and you love the hunting industry, and you've got some experience in events or event management, reach out, because, we are looking to, take some of this workload off of my plate and throw it onto somebody who's got experience and is a hunter and understands kind of what we want to build here. But the long and short of it is we don't want to do too many events. We would want to do them regionally, have them far enough away from each other that they're all their own unique, you know, exhibitor lineups, seminar lineups, and have their own feeling to it. But the South is definitely one we keep getting requests. Bring it to the South, bring it to the South. We'd love to have it down here. So that's on our radar, but there is really no time frame for it yet.
Would you consider like a different time of year, maybe the spring?
Possibly. Yeah. One of the things that I like to do when we're starting, you know, if we're starting to think about adding a show, is try something different. Like going to the Midwest instead of doing it on a family farm. We wanted to try out a, fairgrounds. So it gives us opportunities to like test out new things. And in the South, it's really hot around the time frame that we do it. Possibly we would try to do one in the spring.
Yeah. That's just me thinking off the cuff, you know, that's all. Yeah.
Yep.
Great. Well, Pat, thanks again for coming on. It's always a pleasure having you. We do this kind of annually, and I'm glad to see that Hunt Stock is growing, and I don't know if I'm going to make it out there. If I do, it will be Friday. That's be the day that I would make it out, because I would like to come out and see Randy at least, because I don't get to see him very much. I did spend some time with him over the winter, and I've got to get him on the podcast here pretty soon, at least before fall, to talk about some of his techniques. But I know the lineup is great, and it always is, and everybody that goes out there is going to come away with an opportunity to learn something just in time for deer season. So I appreciate what you're doing out there. I'm glad it's working out for you, and I'm glad you had success in Wisconsin, and I'm sure you will do that in the South as well. Is there anything else you want to say before we sign off?
No, if you want to get tickets, you can get it at www.huntstockevents.com, but you can also get tickets at the door, and we are selling a lot of tickets for this year, so it'd probably be busier than last year. If you plan on coming on Saturday, that's the busiest day. I would just plan on getting there, try to get there around 8, which is an hour before the gates open, get yourself a good parking spot, and be ready to go. It's going to be a really great event, fifth year doing it. You know, we've got this one down pat in terms of logistics, so it becomes easier every year for us to manage it. And, you never know what you're going to see. We'll have some last minute things thrown into Hunt Stock that's not even advertised. We'd love to see a kids under 12 get in for free. Come out and join us this year, especially if you've never been. But if you have been, you know, we look forward to seeing you again. And Dan, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Excellent. It's always a pleasure, my friend. And maybe I'll see you next weekend. I don't know for sure. I got a couple irons in the fire, but you never know.
Bring your guitar if you do come.
There's been a lot of that going on lately, I can tell you that. It's been been a busy summer musically for me.
Awesome.
And that's the one thing I do that's has nothing to do with what I do for work. You know, I was just having that conversation with somebody yesterday about I enjoy reloading, of course, hunting and fishing. Everything I do is tied to what I do for a living, and it's not a problem. But music is something that is not connected to it, and until I start singing about being outside or a fishing song or something.
Yeah.
But I had a great time with the guitar out there a couple of years ago, and really enjoyed that. And it was a fun night around the campfire. I really had fun. It was a good time. Mm-hmm. Pat, thanks for coming on. I wish you good luck next week. You've been listening to the Great Northeast Podcast. Here's hoping everybody has a big buck on their meat pole and a big fish in their net. For New York Outdoor News, I'm Dan Ladd.
Missed a past episode of the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast? You can find previous programs at outdoornews.com or via your favorite podcast streaming platform. And for the rest of the story on the topics we cover on this program, get yourself a subscription to Outdoor News. Simply call 800-535-5191 or visit us at outdoornews.com. And don't forget to join us again here in 2 weeks to talk everything out of doors. Thanks for listening to the New York Outdoor News Great Northeast Podcast.